ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Today we are reading from Canto 11, Chapter 27, Text 7. Chapter 27 is called The Process of Deity Worship. And today we read Text 7.
Vaidikastantriko Mishra.
Vaidikastantriko Mishra.
Vaidikastantriko Mishra.
Vaidikastantriko Mishra.
Iti me trivido makha.
Iti
me trividho makha. Trayanam ipshite naiva. Trayanam ipshite naiva. Vidinamam samarcharet. Vidinamam samarcharet.
Vaidika. According to the four Vedas. Tantrika. According to practical explanatory literatures. Mishra. Mixed. Iti. Thus. Me. Of me. Trividha. Of three kinds. Makha. Sacrifice. Trayanam. Of the three. Ipshitena. That which one feels to be most suitable. Eva, certainly. Vidhina, by the process. Maam, me. Samarcharet, one should properly worship. Translation: one should carefully worship me by selecting one of the three methods by which I receive sacrifice, that is Vedic, Tantric or mixed. Purport: Vaidika refers to sacrifice performed with mantras from the four Vedas and auxiliary Vedic literature. Tantrika refers to such literatures as the Pancharatra and the Gautamiya Tantra, and mixed indicates utilization of both literatures. It should be remembered that superficial imitation of elaborate Vedic sacrifices will not bring one the actual perfection of life. One must perform sacrifice according to the prescription of the Supreme Lord, who recommends for this age the chanting of his holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangulangayate Girim Yatripatamaham Vande Shri Guru Dinatarinam Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So in this chapter, chapter 27, which has just started a few days ago, we see in the previous chapter the whole Aila Gita was there, wherein King Pururava sings songs in mood of detachment from Urvashi. And as that chapter concludes, Uddhava now asks Krishna about the next thing in devotional service which Uddhava wants to know, and that is the process of deity worship. So at the beginning of this chapter, we see that Uddhava is inquiring from Krishna if he can explain, if the Lord can explain to Uddhava about the process of deity worship, why it is important and how it is to be performed. And now, just one or two verses ago, the Lord has started answering Uddhava's questions. So here the Lord has started elaborating what is the process of deity worship and how it should be performed by a person. Now we see that process of deity worship is being stressed by Krishna over here, and for every age there is a different process which is being stressed in the different Upanishads to achieve the Lord. We know the verse from the Kalasantara Upanishad which says, Kritaya Dhrayato Vishnu Tretayam Yajato Makhe Dvapare Paricharyayam Kalau Tad Hari Kirtanam. So in different ages there are different processes to achieve the Lord. In Satya Yuga it was meditation, after that it was sacrifice, then it was deity worship, and now in Kali Yuga it is the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. And as is explained by the servants of Srila Prabhupada who have translated this canto in the purport as well, that for this age the Lord recommends the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra as the process by which one can attain perfection and one can go back to Godhead. But we see that Srila Prabhupada used to stress deity worship quite a lot. In fact, if this is the only process for Kali Yuga of chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra to achieve liberation, then why do we have such elaborate deity worship standards and such high standards in ISKCON? And every temple, there is elaborate deity worship, and in fact the deities are the center of the temple and all activities revolve around worshipping the deities and serving the deities. So once Srila Prabhupada was asked this question as well, that Prabhupada, when you say that chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra is sufficient for this age of Kali, then why are we setting up such big temples and why are we having such high standards and such elaborate standards of deity worship? And Prabhupada replied, he said that my main aim is to engage all my disciples in practical devotional service. He said that in Kali Yuga, the minds of people, and especially since he was in the Western world and he had just started the movement at that time, he said especially of you young Western girls and boys, your minds are so restless that for you it is difficult to sit under a tree and chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra 24 hours a day. And that is why we need deities, we need temples, so that all of you can practically do devotional service for the Lord. And by engaging your senses in the devotional service of the Lord, you all can slowly purify them and then attain that highest stage of chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra purely. So this was the reason why Prabhupada established such elaborate standards of deities, deity worship in our temples throughout ISKCON. And it is said that it is the prerogative or it is the purview of the Bhajanandi saints who actually sit like that and chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra 24 hours a day under the trees. Prabhupada used to explain that. But he said that our movement is one of Goshti Anandi saints. Our movement is one of preaching. Prabhupada always used to stress that the family business of ISKCON is to preach. Like in India we have so many family businesses. If we go certain shops it's written Ram Bihari Lal and Sons or so and so and family. So in India, you know, in the family it runs, the tradition, whatever business is there, it runs in the family. So similarly, since we are all in Prabhupada's family, Prabhupada said that our main aim is to preach. We are all Goshti Anandis. We are not Bhajanandis that we sit in one place and just chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. And that was one more purpose why Prabhupada established such big temples and such elaborate deity worship, so that people can get attracted to our temples, and that way they come and we can preach to them. It gives an opportunity to preach to them. So in fact, in Srila Prabhupada himself was an Uttama Adhikari. He was a Bhajanandi saint. He had retired to Vrindavan and he was nicely chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra there in the holy dham of Vrindavan. But Srila Prabhupada himself stepped down from the Uttama Adhikari platform to the Madhyama Adhikari platform with the sole purpose of preaching and with the sole purpose of fulfilling his Guru Maharaj's prophecy that you should go to the West and preach. And it is, Prabhupada said that not only is it difficult to be a Bhajanandani in this age, it is also very difficult to understand the activities of Bhajanandi saints in this age. We may mistake some activities of Bhajanandi saints when we specially read about the previous acharyas who were Bhajanandis. We may mistake their activities, or we may not have the right purity to understand their mood or to understand their devotion to the Lord. And it is said in the Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela that even a most learned scholar cannot understand the activities and symptoms of an exalted personality in whose heart love of Godhead has awakened. So some devotees are instrumentally utilized by the Lord to spread His glories, whereas some devotees are utilized or are inspired from within by the Lord to live lives of reclusion, to just live secluded lives and just chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra in intense bhajan and renunciation. And one such shining example in our disciplic succession is none other than Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj. And today is his auspicious disappearance day and we are fasting half day today. So we thought, what better way than to spend our Bhagavatam class in hearing about the glories of Srila Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj. So we'll spend a few minutes in speaking about the glories of Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj. He was a genuine Bhajanandi saint. Although he is in our lineage and our lineage talks about all great preachers, but Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj was a genuine Bhajanandi saint. He actually did very little direct preaching in the sense that he was not going from town to town or village to village, or he was not setting up Namahatta centers or anything like that to preach, actively preach the message of Krishna consciousness. Yet he had as his disciple the greatest preacher of today, and that is none other than Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So in no way we should consider Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj anything less or anybody less because he was not a direct preacher. Like we have such illustrious preachers in our movement, which beginning with Srila Prabhupada and Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, even Bhakti Vinod Thakur. They were all illustrious preachers. They have written volumes of books and they spread the Krishna consciousness movement throughout the world, throughout India and throughout the world. But Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, we should not consider that he was anything less than all these preachers. In fact, by studying the characteristics of Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, he was known for his intense devotion to the Lord, for his intense renunciation and his purity in his bhajan. And he was having unrelenting intolerance to hypocrisy and deceit. And he had tremendous devotion in separation from the Lord. He was always in the Vipralambha mood. So by hearing about these qualities, we can pray to the Lord to gain determination and practice our own Krishna consciousness with purity and to give up all forms of duplicity or kutinati, which Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj was very strong against any deceit or any kutinati. If he used to detect in the heart of a sadhaka or in the heart of a spiritualist, he used to immediately smash that person with his strong words. So even Bhakti Vinod Thakur states that one who has crookedness, hypocrisy and deceit in their heart, these anarthas are actually obstructions in the path of our devotional service, and these anarthas will not allow us to attain pure love of Godhead, which is crookedness, hypocrisy and deceit. Even in the Madhurya Kadambani it says that kutinati is a very big anartha, diplomacy or being deceitful. It's a very big anartha in the heart and it obstructs Krishna conscious, pure love for Krishna to take place in the heart. So Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj was born, we have not been given information about his exact date of birth, but he was born somewhere in the 1830s in East Bengal, which is present day Bangladesh. And he was married at an early age by his parents, and during his married life it is mentioned that he used to work as a grain broker. He used to do some trading in grains to sustain his grahastha ashram. And as soon as his wife passed away, he immediately left his home and he went to Vrindavan. So not much is known about his grahastha days, but this act of his, of immediately renouncing his home and going to Vrindavan, shows that he had always been a spiritualist from his birth. Otherwise, how can someone immediately go away to Vrindavan, renouncing everything? So he goes to Vrindavan and he approaches Bhagwat Das Babaji. Bhagwat Das Babaji was the foremost disciple of Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. So Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj approaches him for Babaji initiation, or Babaji Vesh it used to be called. And he takes initiation from him, and then he stays in Vrindavan for almost 30 years after he takes initiation from Bhagwat Das Babaji. And again, there is not much written or known about his life in Vrindavan, except that he didn't have a fixed place of residence. He used to just roam around in different kunjas and different forests of Vrindavan. And sometimes he used to stay in Varshana and he used to string beautiful garlands for Radharani. So that's all that is known about Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj's Vrindavan pastimes. Now in 1897, some years later, in 1897, the Yoga Peeth, or the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, was discovered by the joint efforts of Bhakti Vinod Thakur and Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. And then, under the instructions of Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj leaves Vrindavan and comes to Navadvip Dham. And this was around when he was 60 years old. He comes to Navadvip Dham and he wanted to relish now the holy Dham of Navadvip. He considered both the Dham, that is Vrindavan and Mayapur or Navadvip, to be non-different from each other. So he stays there until his disappearance in Navadvip Dham. Now Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, the main quality which he was renowned for throughout the world and even now he is known for was his intense renunciation. He was totally detached from the bodily platform of life. In fact, Bhurijan Prabhu, I was hearing a lecture by Bhurijan Prabhu on Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj and he was saying that Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj was personification of renunciation. In fact, to survive in Navadvip Dham, he used to just survive by begging. He used to gather dry foodstuffs from the houses of various grahastas and while walking on the way, he used to see some fallen sticks and dry wood. So he used to just collect all those sticks. And for cooking whatever dry bhoga he has gathered, he used to collect earthen pots which have been discarded by grahastas. Because during eclipse it seems the earthen pots become contaminated and then these are discarded on the banks of Ganga by various people. So he used to go and collect these discarded pots, he used to wash them and then he used to cook in these pots. And he used to mainly have only rice, he used to just cook rice and add some chili in it and eat. That's all for his subsistence. And sometimes not even cook that rice, he used to just collect the broken pieces of rice from grahastas and he used to soak it in Ganga water for some time and just add some chili and just eat that. And sometimes not even that, sometimes he would just eat mud from the banks of the Ganga. So it was just that he was trying to keep his body and soul together. There was nothing else he had which he had to do with his body. Just so that the body stays alive and he can continue his intense bhajan or intense chanting of the holy names of the Lord. So once he was given a raw eggplant by someone. Now, how many of us have eaten a raw eggplant? Very difficult to eat a raw eggplant. Sometimes we must have eaten undercooked eggplants, but not raw eggplants. But he was given a raw eggplant by somebody and at that time he was not in a place where he could cook that eggplant. So he just, even other bhoga when he used to cook, he used to just take that bhoga in his hand and he used to offer it to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu mentally. And he used to say, oh my Lord, you please accept this. And in this case also when the eggplant was given to him, he kept it in his hand and he offered it to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saying that my Lord, today I don't have any means to cook this eggplant. But you please accept it as it is and then I will relish your Mahaprasad. So he that way saying that he just offered the raw eggplant to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and then he ate it with relish, that raw eggplant. Such was his renunciation and detachment from the body. Even for his clothes, he used to just wear torn clothes. Sometimes he used to just wear kopins and roam around in Navadvip Dham. Sometimes not even that, he used to just roam around naked. He was not even aware what was there on his body or what was not there on his body. And sometimes to get a clothes, he used to go to the crematorium or the burning ghats along the banks of Ganga. And before the body is burnt, the cloth is taken away from which is covering the body and it's discarded. And Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj used to get this discarded cloth which was kept on a corpse, on a dead body. And then he used to wash that in the Ganga and he used to wear that. So he was not at all attached, he was not at all conforming to material standards of living or how a person should live in this material world. He had nothing to do with these aspects. And he didn't have any possessions at all. He just had one kanti mala which he used to wear and one tulsi bead on which he used to chant. And sometimes not even that, sometimes he just used to take a cloth and tie knots along the cloth and then he used to chant on that cloth, on the knots, using them as his beads. But he was very, very fond or he was very, very respectful towards Narottam Das Thakur. And as his possession, he had two books of Narottam Das Thakur, which he used to always carry with him. So he was practically illiterate. He just knew to read little bit or write little bit. But these books he was very attached to. And they were Prarthana and Prema Bhakti Chandrika by Narottam Das Thakur. So these were the only things which he had of value. Otherwise nothing else he had in his possession. Now Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj was sharing a very unique relationship with Bhakti Vinod Thakur. He used to consider Bhakti Vinod Thakur as his Siksha Guru and that was the proper etiquette as well because Bhakti Vinod Thakur was the god brother of his Vesha or Babaji Initiation Guru. His Babaji Initiation Guru was Bhagwat Das who was the disciple of Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. So that way he used to consider Bhaktivinoda Thakur as his Siksha Guru. And with great delight, he used to go to Godruma in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Kutir, Bhajan Kutir. And there Bhaktivinoda Thakur used to regularly recite Srimad Bhagavatam or give lectures on Srimad Bhagavatam. And he used to go and relish those lectures by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And he had so much high regard for Bhaktivinoda Thakur that whenever Bhaktivinoda Thakur's wife, Bhagavati Devi Dasi, and their daughter, Kadambini, they used to go to take darshan. Gaurkishore Das Babaji Maharaj used to live in Kulia sometimes. So they used to go from Godruma to Kulia to take darshan of Gaurkishore Das Babaji Maharaj. And he used to chastise them. He used to say that, why have you left the deity of your house and come here in this market to shop around for some other deities? An internal associate, an eternal and internal associate of the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is present in your house. You go and do intense Hari Bhajan with him and worship him, otherwise he may leave your house and go away. So such was the respect which Gaurkishore Das Babaji Maharaj had for Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Bhaktivinoda Thakur also similarly had very great respect and reverence for Gaurkishore Das Babaji Maharaj. And in 1908, Bhaktivinoda Thakur approached Gaurkishore Das Babaji Maharaj to accept Babaji initiation from him. Now Gaurkishore Das Babaji Maharaj used to consider Bhaktivinoda Thakur as his Siksha Guru. So he considered himself totally unqualified to initiate Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So it is said that Gaurkishore Das Babaji Maharaj was omniscient because of his intense bhajan and chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra in seclusion back to. And 24 hours a day, he was in touch with the Super Soul. And it is said he was being guided by the Super Soul. So he used to come to know what is there in the hearts of people, what are their motives, and who is going to approach him, and what is going to happen. He was omniscient. He used to be aware of all these details. So he knew when Bhaktivinoda Thakur was going to come to him and ask him for Babaji initiation. And considering himself totally unqualified, he ran away from his bhajan kutir and he took shelter in the veranda of a prostitute. So that people would leave him alone and think that he is fallen. Oh, how can he take shelter in the veranda of a prostitute? And they would go away. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur like that had to twice go back. And he refused, Babaji refused to give him initiation. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur was also very determined. And the third time he approached Babaji, Gaurkishore Das Babaji Maharaj. And he somehow or the other convinced him. And ultimately in 1908, Gaurkishore Das Babaji Maharaj gave Babaji initiation to Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Now Bhaktivinoda Thakur had such high regard for Gaurkishore Das Babaji Maharaj and therefore he instructed his son Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur that you must go and accept Gaurkishore Das Babaji Maharaj as your guru, as your Diksha Guru. He is the one who can deliver you from this material world and he is an eternal associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Krishna. So there is no one more qualified than him who can give you initiation. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was so inspired by the words of Bhaktivinoda Thakur that he immediately rushed and approached Gaurkishore Das Babaji Maharaj to accept initiation from him. But as usual, Gaurkishore Das Babaji Maharaj, who considered himself totally unqualified, he said that, no, I cannot give you initiation. But Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur insisted, no, I will take initiation from you only. You have to give me your mercy. So then Gaurkishore Das Babaji Maharaj, just to send him away, he said, okay, I'll ask Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If he permits me, I will initiate you. So then again next day Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur approached Gaurkishore Das Babaji Maharaj. And again Gaurkishore Das Babaji Maharaj wanted to just send him off. He said, oh, I forgot to ask Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You come tomorrow, I will tell you tomorrow if I can give you initiation. So like that for 3-4 days he kept on sending Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur back. And then on the 4th or 5th attempt when Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur approached Gaurkishore Das Babaji Maharaj, he said that scholarship and being learned or being scholarly, it's totally insignificant in comparison to devotional service to the Lord. And it is explained by the Acharyas that Gaurkishore Das Babaji Maharaj was trying to teach Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was a renowned scholar of that time. In fact, he was the most famous scholar in the whole of India. But Gaurkishore Das Babaji Maharaj wanted to establish this principle to him that it is not scholarship or it is not your huge or vast learning which is required for devotional service or which will take one back to Godhead, but it is only intense devotional service to the Lord which will take one back. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was in such a humble mood. He said that you are trying to deceive me by saying all these statements and you are just trying to send me back. And he said that similarly, Goshti Purna, send Ramanujacharya back. It is said he sent him back 18 times by not giving him initiation and sending him back. But Ramanujacharya was so determined that ultimately on the 19th attempt, he took initiation from Goshti Purna. And similarly, I am also not going to go back. I will give up my life if you don't give me your mercy. But I am going to accept only you as my Guru Maharaj. And then Gaur Kishordas Babaji Maharaj, this was like a test he had put to Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So then Gaur Kishordas Babaji Maharaj was convinced that he is a true seeker and he gave him initiation. And he initiated him as Sri Varshabhanavi Devi Daita Das. The meaning of this is the servant of the lover of the daughter of King Rishabhanu. This is the name he gave on his initiation. In 1908, it is said Gaur Kishordas Babaji Maharaj's eyesight started deteriorating. He was almost losing his eyesight because he never used to eat properly and he was not looking after his body well. So he was almost losing his eyesight. And Bhakti Vinod Thakur and Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, both of them insisted that no, we will go to Calcutta, I will take you to Calcutta personally, but you must get treatment done. But Gaur Kishordas Babaji Maharaj vehemently refused. He said no, that Calcutta is an illusory material universe. I'm not going to go there for my treatment. I'm not going to leave the holy dham. So Bhakti Vinod Thakur insisted. He said that Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur will come with you. He will look after you, but you please go to Calcutta and get treatment done for your eyes. And when Gaur Kishordas Babaji Maharaj heard this, because he used to hold Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur also in so much reverence, although he was his disciple, he used to always call him my Prabhu, Mora Prabhu, Mora Prabhu, like that he used to call his own disciple. So he said that he closed his ears and he said that if I have to accept service from Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur or my Prabhu, it is better that I drown in the Ganga. Or if I drown in the Ganga, I'll become a ghost. It's better I drown in the Saraswati. And saying this, Gaur Kishordas Babaji Maharaj left from there, from Godruma. He was in the house of Bhakti Vinod Thakur at that time. He just disappeared and he rushed towards the Ganga. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur rushed after him, but he had disappeared by that time. And then for 45 days, Gaur Kishordas Babaji Maharaj was not visible at all. And then on the 45th day, he reappeared again in Bhakti Vinod Thakur's house. And he said that, I am not going to achieve Krishna by giving up my life, but I will not accept service from my Prabhu, or I will not accept service from Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So ultimately, he never agreed to go to Calcutta and he became totally blind in due course of time. And Gaur Kishordas Babaji Maharaj was very, very strict about keeping away from materialists. As I said, he was always in touch with the super soul and he could detect any deceit or any selfish material motives in any person's heart. And he just wanted to keep away because so his fame had spread so much because of his intense bhajan that many people used to come to him for blessings. And as in India especially, we know people approach sadhus just to get material benedictions. Oh, this is happening, let me get this benediction, let me get that benediction. So Gaur Kishordas Babaji Maharaj used to feel that this is an obstruction in my bhajan, when people approach me for material benedictions. So once there was a married couple who wanted, they were very pious people and they wanted to serve Gaur Kishordas Babaji Maharaj. So they approached him and they said that we would like to build a small bhajan kutir for you. Because you are just living here and there in Navadvip. Sometimes when it's raining, you just take shelter under an upturned boat. And you are just tolerating so much heat, cold, rain of Mayapur. So we would like to build a small bhajan kutir for you. And Gaur Kishordas Babaji Maharaj said, no, these are not obstructions in my devotional service. They are not hampering any of my devotional service. But it is these materialists who approach me with selfish motives. It is they who are hampering my devotional service. So if you can please give me place, that couple had a dharmashala. So he said that if you can please give me your latrine, the latrine of your dharmashala to use as my bhajan kutir, I'll be very happy. Mm-hmm. Latrine means the toilet of the dharmashala. Mm-hmm. And the couple were flabbergasted. They said that no, how can we do that? That will be a big sin if we give you that. But he insisted. He said, if you want to serve me, you give me that, otherwise I don't need your service. And then the couple was so eager to serve Gaur Kishordas Babaji Maharaj that they got their toilet renovated. They got it completely cleaned and purified, and then they actually had to give that to Gaur Kishordas Babaji Maharaj. And Gaur Kishordas Babaji Maharaj used to sit in that latrine or in that toilet. He used to bolt the door from inside and he used to peacefully do his bhajan or his Hari Kirtan, chanting of the holy names over there. And because he was in such a place, then materialists were not approaching him. They used to keep away from him. And that way Gaur Kishordas Babaji Maharaj was very happy that there is no obstruction now in my devotional service. So there was once a married couple, another married couple who approached Gaur Kishordas Babaji Maharaj. And this man was previously, when he was not married, he was very, very devoted to Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And he approached Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur and he said, how do I do my Hari Bhajan now that I've entered the Grahastha Ashram? And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur takes him to Gaur Kishordas Babaji Maharaj for instructions. And Gaur Kishordas Babaji Maharaj says that, yes, you are a very good devotee of the Lord and it's okay that you have entered the Grahastha Ashram. But from today onwards, you will personally cook and offer that food to Lord Vishnu. And after that food has been taken by Lord Vishnu, you will feed that prasad to your wife. And after your wife has eaten that prasad, you will accept her remnants as Mahaprasad. And every day you will eat your wife's Mahaprasad, considering her to be a servant of Lord Vishnu or considering her to be a very good Vaishnava. So in this way you will not consider her, or he was trying to give this instruction to all married people, that a husband should not consider the wife as the object of fulfilling his own sense gratification. But this should be the mood which a married person should have towards his wife. That his wife is the eternal servant of Lord Vishnu and he is the servant of the servant of Lord Vishnu. So he should serve his wife in this way. And in this way it will keep him detached from enjoying his wife or considering his wife as his own property. Now in 1915, we will discuss a bit about Gaur Kishordas Babaji Maharaj leaving this planet. So it is said in 1915 on this Ekadashi, which is known as the Uthana Ekadashi. In fact, on the same day, November 17th in 1915, it is mentioned, Gaur Kishordas Babaji Maharaj left this world. He gave up his body and he entered into the eternal pastimes of Radha and Krishna. So when Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur came to know, he immediately rushed from Yoga Peeth. He had already established Yoga Peeth at that time. So he immediately rushed to Kulia for conducting the final rites of his Guru Maharaj. And when he went there was a big crowd that had gathered around around Gaur Kishordas Babaji Maharaj's body. And there was a fight going on. So many priests of many temples had gathered there and each of them was fighting that no, Gaur Kishordas Babaji Maharaj Samadhi should be in my temple. And there was a fight going on. And their own selfish motive was that if they have the Samadhi in their temple courtyard, then so many pilgrims will flock, because Gaur Kishordas Babaji Maharaj was renowned throughout the world as an intense Bhajanandi saint or a very pure devotee of the Lord. So they knew all pilgrims will come and that way they can make lots of money. And that is why they were fighting. So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur stopped all of them. And he said that I am the only Diksha disciple of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur and of Gaur Kishordas Babaji Maharaj, and only I have the right to perform his final rites. But they said that no, you are not a sannyasi yet, you are still a brahmachari and you cannot touch the body of a person who has renounced, who was a sannyasi himself. So you cannot do his final rites. And then Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur challenged all of them. He said, although I have not taken to the renounced order of life yet, but I can tell you this, that I am a celibate brahmachari and I am pure in my thoughts. But if any of you standing here in the last 1 year, or forget about 1 year, in the last 6 months, or the last 3 months, or even the last few days, have not had any illicit association with any woman, then you can touch this pure, spiritual, blissful body of my Guru Maharaj. And hearing his strong words, all the people, the priests who were standing there, they all left one by one. But because nobody could claim that even in the last few days, they had not had illicit association with women. And the remaining few who were present there, they told Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur that Gaur Kishordas Babaji Maharaj's final wish was that his body should be dragged through the streets of Navadvip Dham and his body should be rolled in the dust of the holy Dham. That was his last wish. So I think we should do that. We should tie his body with ropes and we should drag his body throughout the streets of Navadvip, because we are fulfilling his last wish. And again Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was very strong. He said that no, do you know how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu cremated Haridas Thakur's body? He said with so much love, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally carried the body of Srila Haridas Thakur and he bathed him in the ocean in Jagannath Puri and he personally cremated him. And he said if Lord Krishna himself comes, he will carry the body of my beloved Guru Maharaj on his head. He will not drag him through the streets of the holy Dham. He said that was just out of humility that my Guru Maharaj had expressed that. But we shall not do like that. I shall personally carry and weigh this body in the Ganga and I shall create a samadhi for him. And in this way, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur personally created or personally built a samadhi for Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj. And today the samadhi is present in Yogapeet or the ashram which belongs to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur on the banks of Radhakund. And Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj was Guna Manjari in his eternal position in the spiritual world. He was one of the intimate associates of Radha Rani. And she, like in the spiritual world, he was a lady, he was Guna Manjari, and he used to serve Radha Rani. So we will end our recount with his Pranati Mantra. Namo Gaura Kishoraya Sakshat Vairagya Murtaye Vipralambha Rasambhude Padambhujaya Te Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances to Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, who is renunciation personified. He is always merged in a feeling of separation from an intense love of Krishna. Jai Shri Shri Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj ki,
Jai
Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki,
Jai
Srila Prabhupada ki,
Jai.